Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all again. It's another Wednesday, and it's a Bible study in the Grace Community Church. We've been on a series looking at the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers in Christ Jesus. And we've been on a section in the last few weeks focusing on the Spirit's giftings. We've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit, which are abilities or phenomena that are described for us in Scripture as gifts of the Spirit. We've defined them as abilities that the Holy Spirit bestows on every believer. By that I mean that each believer would have at least one gift of the Spirit. And we've been looking at the lists described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm hoping that today we can round up on these individual gifts and then go on to other things. These last set of gifts are sometimes described by many people as auxiliary or support gifts. In the context of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, they would fall under the sphere of service gifts. But you see, as mentioned earlier in the sessions, I've noticed that many people often relegate or look down on these service gifts when compared with the more prominent gifts like apostleship, prophecy, teaching, pastoring, evangelism, and even exhortation. A number of people who possess these gifts, I mean these service gifts, or these gifts that we'll be looking at today, that are termed by some people auxiliary or support gifts, many people who possess these gifts almost consider themselves second-class ministers. And many do not value their unique endowments by the Spirit. And this is absolutely wrong. It is important for us that we all recognize that, as Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21, when he said, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you." No group of gifts can say to the others that I do not need you. Every spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit. And all these gifts are needed for the effective functioning of the church in the ministry that the Lord has given to us as a body. And so it's important. You can't look down on any gift and say, even though some people call it an auxiliary gift or a support gift, that means it's not as important. All are equally important. So today, I'm just going to follow an order that, in my view, just aids better understanding of this set of gifts. So if you're with me, you can get your Bible and maybe a jotter and a pen, and we can just continue. So the very first of these gifts that we're looking at today is, as Scripture describes it, the gift of service or helps. The gift of service or helps. We will read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and also read Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. So permit me to read. After all, it's Bible study, okay? So we will always read our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So what we're looking at is what Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28 calls helps. Look at Romans chapter 12 and see this same gift described in a different way. Romans chapter 12, we're reading from verse 6 this time. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And so that is the gift, first gift we're looking at. The gift of helps, or as Romans chapter 12 and verse 7 calls it, ministry. If you see some other translations, it will say service, right? So while in a general sense, if you remember last week, I said that the next set of gifts we'll be looking at, starting from last week, some people don't even really consider them as spiritual gifts because they believe that they are things or responsibilities that everybody as believers should be doing. But we see these things described specifically as spiritual gifts, okay? Now, in a general sense, we have all been called to minister to people. We've all been called to service. We've all been called to offer help to others. But you see, this gift performs that service in more specialized ways. If I were going to give a definition for this gift of service, this gift of helps, or this gift of ministry, I would define it as the motivation and the capacity to help others in humble and practical kinds of service. It consists, perhaps, of an unusual ability to know people's needs, or to know how people's needs are best met, and then an unusual skill in meeting those needs. Now, the best example that I can give of the use of this gift of service or this gift of helps is in Acts chapter 6, from verses 1 to 6. If you remember the story, there was a food sharing crisis in the early church, and the church needed spirit-filled people to manage that crisis. And so we had these men, Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. How many of us remember those names? Yeah, most of us remember Stephen and Philip. Most people don't remember Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. I presume that these men had this gift of helps, and they were able to serve the early church in a very humble, practical way. One thing we must note is that people who serve in this way usually may not receive any outward recognition. And this is the nature of the gift of service or the gift of helps. It's an unsung service, but it is very vital to the healthy functioning of the church. I'll move on quickly because we're looking at four gifts today. The next one that I want us to look at is the gift of showing mercy, or the gift of compassion. We find this described for us in Romans chapter 12 as well. So let us read Romans. Romans 12, I'm going to read verse 8. Or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And it sometimes seems a bit out of place, right? Just like I was saying earlier. Because prophecy and then showing mercy, and Paul still lists them and puts them on the same plane as gifts of the Spirit. Now, I see this gift of showing mercy or of compassion as a specialized form of the gift of helps. I truly believe that this is also in the same category, because it's about humble, practical service. Now, showing mercy or compassion is supposed to be a general responsibility of all Christians, as we see in Colossians 3 and verse 12, and then also in Jude verse 22. But Obviously, this spiritual gift is a special aptitude that the Holy Spirit bestows on some people. I will define it as the ability to sense in others a wide range of emotions or needs and then provide support. You see, it's related to helps. Provide support by giving, caring, comforting the sick, or even exhortation. I'm not talking about natural human sympathy or normal Christian concern. It's a deeper sensing and a deeper ability to provide that support. If you were to ask me, I would say an example that I find in scripture of someone who had this gift possibly was Dorcas at Joppa. In Acts chapter 9 verse 36 onwards, we will see the story of Dorcas. Dorcas was someone who made clothes and provided to the needs of all the women in Joppa. And in fact, she's described in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 of always doing good, of showing kindness. And for me, that is a prime example of someone who was functioning in this gift. The next gift we will look at is the gift of giving. The gift of giving. Again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. It says, "Or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And again, I see this gift of giving as another specialized form of the gift of helps or service. And it is even closely linked with the gift of showing mercy or compassion. If you remember when I defined the gift of showing mercy or compassion, I said it's the ability to sense a range of emotions or needs and to provide support. And one of the ways of providing that support is by giving. All right. So this gift of giving, again, you know, when we look at it, all of us have the responsibility to give. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. And of course, we shouldn't even expect that only those with the gift of giving should shoulder the responsibility of giving by the whole church, you know. But again, we see this description in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, where there is a mention of a specific gift of giving. I will define this gift as the ability to share materially or financially to meet a need. But you must note, this ability is not based on whether the person with the gift has abundant means. What I mean is, it's not only rich people that have this gift. I'm speaking about a spirit-giving capacity and desire to serve God by giving material resources to further the work of God, to meet the needs of fellow Christians, church members, and other people. Dorcas, that we looked at, the example we looked at in Acts chapter 9, could also be referred to as someone who exhibited this gift of giving as well. Another person in the book of Acts will probably be someone like Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4 verses 34 to 35, we see this description of Barnabas selling his land, and he brought the proceeds to the apostles to distribute with a view to meeting the needs of others. And I do know many people, even now in our contemporary world, who obviously have this gift. And many times it's linked. So someone with a gift of helps or service would also many times have this gift of showing mercy or compassion, and also have this gift of giving. The final gift, and then we will round up. Yes, I'm within time. Is the gift of administration or leadership. Administration or leadership. So again, we'll read Romans chapter 12 from verse 8. It says, "Or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So we see that description. He that ruleth. Look at 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And and verse 28. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it says, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, governments." And so 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28 calls this gift government or administration. And so that's administration or leadership. I would define this gift as the ability to lead a group within the church or an entire congregation. It consists of a special skill in administrative direction that enables the individual to steer a group into channels of most effective service. And people with this gift are able to organize people and also organize things. You know, the truth is, you just see them. You just see people who are like that. They just have this ability to be able to put things in place. And I'm not talking about a natural talent that they always had. It's something that, you know, just, so to speak, comes upon them when they become Christians. It's just an ability that they discover. Now, you see, this gift of administration or leadership, along with the broad group of the gift of helps, is indispensable in the smooth running or functioning of the body of Christ. I dare say that when this gift of administration or leadership is not allowed to operate properly, a body of believers may find it difficult to achieve common goals. And so sometimes you see believers fired up, full of the word, with many people that have the gift of prophecy. So prophets all over the place, lovely teaching of the word of God. But you find out that leadership or administration is missing. And when you see those groups of believers, you will notice that they find it difficult to achieve common goals. And it's important for us to allow each of these gifts to operate. All right, we'll stop here today. And that brings us to the end. If you'll notice, we've not gone into the sphere of the manifestations of the Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1 to about verse 11, 12. We've not. And that's because I really believe that even though they are in the sphere, in the general sphere of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, they are slightly different from the gifts of the Spirit that we've looked at. Okay? So we will look at that later. Next week, what we'll be looking at is how do we discover our gifts. Thank you all for joining in today. Have a great evening and enjoy the rest of your week.